persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jimmy Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Hillary and Trump win New York. Glorious day. Two buds side by side, both big government socialists. Rejoice, America. Your future is socialism. The bands and cords of that old constitution will finally be broken off the backs of the elitists who want to enslave us. While Trump can use eminent domain violating the Fifth Amendment to steal all the private property he wants now. Hey, I know, maybe Trump can appoint Hillary as health czar, right? To implement his and her single-payer nationalized health care program. Oh, yeah, hooray! Hey, banks, burst another bubble. You've got your man, and they're to bail you out. Hey, big business, no worries. Taxpayers will secure your debt. Glorious day. Oh, by the way, for all concerned about walls and deportation, hey, he's going to put a revolving door in that wall. Don't worry about it. Besides, all this is soon going to be over. You know, when Donnie finishes his negotiation for the nomination, hey, he'll begin laying out his deal for the presidency on a national level, and then his tone will change. And now there's no reasonable expectation for Cruz to win, right? 1,237 delegates by the convention, but whoa, slow down. Not so fast, as Yogi Berra said. It ain't over till it's over. And as God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Has Trump settled the nomination question, and is it time to turn attention to the general election? Is there any path for Cruz to pull out a win? Can Cruz steal the election? The GOP has publicly committed that they will not change the rules going into this convention. What does that mean for the candidates? Okay, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Hillary and Trump won New York. To hear the press, you'd think the primary is over. As Cruz put it, to Trump, Manhattan has spoken. Let's all go home. But if we play by Donald's rules, you know, hey, he lost to Cruz because in Wisconsin, Cruz picked up 531,290 votes in a state with a population of only 5.76 million, while Trump won New York with less votes, only 524,932 votes with a New York population of 8.46 million. Oh, wait, no, that's just New York City. Trump received only 524,900 votes in a state with a population of 19 million. So Cruz got more than Trump did. But it does give us some perspective, and in fact, it's perspective that is important. Look, who does not know that New York is a liberally inclined state? Not a newsflash for anyone. Do you want to know how many votes Hillary got in New York? Over 1 million. Bernie picked up over 500,000. I think it's 700,000 and plus. I mean, that's almost 2 million Dems voting in the New York Democrat primary. It should surprise no one that New York would go to Trump. It is his home state, after all. However, it is a closed primary state, and I did cherish a hope that the few conservatives there are in the wonderful state of New York would rally to Cruz. Well, it didn't happen. And I think that is very sad. But when you study the stats, I believe the hype about Trump's win in New York is greatly exaggerated. I mean, in terms of what it means about his chances against Hillary, for sure, and really what it means in terms of his position within the conservative element of the GOP. Yeah, okay, I know. I know. I'm not. I get it. If you add Trump's Wisconsin votes to his New York votes and add Cruz's Wisconsin votes to his New York votes, then Trump still has over 300,000 more votes in total. If you add up all the votes Donald has gotten and compare them to all the votes Cruz has so far received, well, Trump leads by almost 2 million votes. But if we calculate out the 10% that probably represents the crossover Dem vote, that still puts Trump significantly ahead of Cruz in total votes cast. But the larger factor in all of this is that Trump's votes only account, and you can't get around this, Trump supporter, his votes only account for 35% of the total votes cast in the GOP race thus far. I mean, it's reasonable to expect most of the votes divided between Cruz and Rubio and Carson and the rest, certainly most of them would have gone to Cruz if it had been a two-man race all along. The best guesstimate in that case would be Cruz would be leading by about the same margin that Trump is leading by right now, about 2 million votes. No matter how you study this out, the fact is Trump is an anomaly, all right? I'm going to re-examine the Trump phenomenon today, and I'm going to tell you why. It is because I really do have a lot of Trump supporters who send me quite a bit of feedback, and it's helpful feedback, by the way. And many of them are sharp, intelligent men and women who are genuine patriots, I believe. Now, Trump supporters perceive him to be the only outsider running in this race. So let me offer to you a list of what I believe are the top six things that appeal to Trump supporters. And the first one is the refreshing frankness in his tone and manner. He certainly does come across as the non-politician in this race. Second, adding to the first, is the idea that he is his, quote, own man, end quote, and that no one, quote, owns him, end quote. And this is because he is personally financing his campaign. The third is his celebrity status as a successful businessman, you know, with Apprentice and all that, who's been in the real world and actually earned a living as a businessman and is regarded as having street smarts and business savvy, together with the perception that this is what we need in the White House right now. A smart businessman who has business savvy, who can manage the government more efficiently and effectively, as opposed to, say, just another politician like, well, Ted Cruz. Now, Cruz does have the burden of having been elected to office, and so he wears the stink of politician. People, especially Trump supporters, have trouble seeing Cruz as an outsider. Fourth, his views on the immigration issue. And many might think that should be the first reason, but no, the problem there is that Cruz is saying almost exactly the same thing that Trump is saying, and actually has a more workable plan to address the problem. Now, Trump wants to build the wall, right? Cruz wants to build the wall. Only Trump wants to put a revolving door in the wall. Now, I do believe Trump has used this issue to galvanize a significant following after him, but the attraction wasn't so much to his statement of policy, it was more to his manner of addressing the problem. That frankness, that anti-politician tone, that audacious effrontery to political correctness. Fifth, the fact that all the right people hate him. The GOPistas despise him, the MSM seem to despise him also. Trump's ability to tweak the noses of these groups that we conservatives have grown to resent so deeply polarizes the GOP, putting Trump at one end of the spectrum against the Aristos on the other, and so everybody making a choice between them is going to gravitate to Trump. And these particular conservatives are instinctively drawn to him the more the GOP Aristos and MSM beat on him. Sixth, you can trust Trump to be Trump. Trump supporters feel comfortable with him as a known quantity, has been around a long time. Though flawed, his flaws are out there, and we are accustomed to them. Kind of reminds me of Clinton. Cruz, by contrast, is something of an enigma to them, a sort of shadowy character, and all they know about him is that he's a politician. So everything he does or says is interpreted within that rubric or within that as a context. Now, there is a seventh, but that one is not generally one that motivates conservative Republicans. It's one that motivates the rhinos and the crossover dim voters. And that seventh one is that Trump isn't Cruz. For them, it's anyone but Cruz, all right? Now, have I assessed it correctly? And fairly. I really want to be fair about this. I have talked to well-reasoned, intelligent Trump supporters, many of them, who agree that he's not an ideal conservative. In fact, I have yet to talk to a Trump supporter who did not agree that his view, for example, on eminent domain is flawed, deeply flawed. Some attempt to excuse it as, well, naive, owing to the fact that, the positive fact that, well, you know, he's not a politician after all, and he'll probably grow in these things as he learns more about it. All Trump supporters agree that his support for Obama's stimulus was ill-advised, that his notion that the government can and should sometimes take over private business is considered by them, well, not so good. His repeated statement that he intends to push for universal single-payer nationalized health care is admitted by every conservative supporting Trump that I've talked to as seriously concerning. His past record on the second, you know, he's a recent convert on the Second Amendment, at least to the position that we hold, and on abortion, especially with his recent arrogant suggestion that he's going to unilaterally work to change the platform of the Republican Party on the issue of abortion. That's what he wants to do. All of these things are problematic for even the most dedicated conservative Trump supporter. But immediately, all I've talked to fall back on one or more of the six reasons for supporting Trump that I've outlined here. Now, look, I understand that those of you who support Trump because you despise, hate, or otherwise oppose Cruz. Well, for you, it's anybody but Cruz. Many in this category are actually, and I think irrationally, more afraid of Cruz than they are of Trump, Bernie, or Hillary. So anyway, basically, I'm talking to conservatives who would support Cruz if he won the nomination, but who prefer Trump for one or more of the six reasons that I outlined earlier. So let's go through them. First, number one, his frankness, his plain-spoken manner, his effrontery to political correctness. To be honest, Trump has always been very frank and, frankly, liberal. All right? He said, the economy does better under Democrats? Really? The conservative frankness we're hearing now is all new coming from him. I don't just forget years of experience with someone I've watched for years. With amusement, by the way, I enjoy Trump. Only because of a sudden, inexplicable conversion? The only thing I can see that explains his conversion is political expediency to get the Republican nomination. So, you see, I don't trust Trump. I know that you do, but I don't. I don't trust his ideological dedication to conservatism or to the Constitution. And I have solid grounds for distrusting Trump. I have specific statements he's made. My distrust for Trump is rational. It's sensible. It's reasonable. But we know he can talk frankly. He can say, you're fired, right? He has that as part of his personality. But it's never showed up in disdain for political correctness before. He has always spoken for or in favor of abortion, in favor of gun control. And while he has lately changed his tone on these things, somewhat, in the area of abortion particularly, he has not taken back his statements regarding eminent domain, the stimulus, the bank bailouts, the takeover of Chrysler. He was very frank then too, okay? And by the way, I think sincere. When he said the economy does better under Democrats, I think he was telling us what he really thinks. But that is so fundamentally flawed. It leaves me a jaw-dropping astonishment to hear otherwise well-reasoned conservatives embrace him as a conservative. Cruz is as unpolitically correct as they come. He is a politician by profession. But what is Trump aspiring to be? He's running for office. If he wins, well, that will, by definition, make him a politician. And if you say, no, he's an outsider, then apparently what you mean is that the profession isn't the issue, right? So you obviously mean that in terms of ideology and principles of action and so on, he's not a politician. But I think you're wrong. I think Trump is the quintessential demagogue politician. He keeps media attention focused on him through demagoguery, blatant appeal to issues he knows inflame a certain specific demographic focused narrowly on that issue. Please look at Cruz for a moment and think. It's hard not to see a politician, isn't it? He sounds like a professional debater. He's glib of tongue and quick of wit. And all of these gifts today are against him in this election. If only he could talk more emotionally. If only he could connect with his audience on a deeply subjective level, as Trump has done. Well, this whole thing would be done already. But I call on you to be objective and to look at this reasonably. Is it reasonable to reject a man who is dedicated to constitutional conservative principles and has all of the right positions, not some of them, all of them, every one of them that we want, and has always been with us on these issues? He's not a newbie conservative. Do you begin to see that an emotional connection with Trump is not enough reason to accept his blatantly liberal side in preference to someone who is solid gold conservative? But you don't like him as much. He's not as much fun. He's not as stimulating. He isn't a champion to ride like a white horse savior and do battle with the politically correct. You don't see him that way. Now I'm running out of time in this segment. I'll have to pick it up on the other side of the break. Hold on, I'll be right back as we continue to reason through this together.
Some pagans claim 9 million witches were killed by Christians during the Dark Ages. But here are the facts. Only about 40,000 were witches, the rest were Anabaptist Christians. Also, those who committed these atrocities were a paganized version of Christianity. And third, these pagans forget it was pagans who martyred Christians by torturous death during the early church period. Just thought you'd like to know the facts, courtesy of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bataravia Road in Santa Maria. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Man, sometimes the time restraints of my show really frustrate me. Folks, I want to examine the whole convention rules thing. We really need to understand this, although I've noticed a lot of this is coming out much more clearly, and that is helpful, but I'm looking at the material I feel compelled to cover right now, and folks, I'm sure I'll not get to the other, so you can catch me on YouTube. You know, we're getting pretty good at these videos. We've been practicing for a while, and I haven't said much about it for that reason, but now I'm okay. We're still improving, but I'm okay with promoting them to you now, but I'll post a couple of brain massage videos next week addressing the convention rules and how all of that works, complete with illustrations and so on. Okay, in the last segment, I outlined 6th and a 7th reason people support Trump, summarized as follows. First, the refreshing frankness in his tone and manner. Second, he is his own man, no one owns him. Third, his celebrity status as a successful businessman as opposed to, say, just another politician like Cruz. Fourth, his views on immigration. Fifth, the fact that all the right people hate him. Sixth, you can trust Trump to be Trump. They feel comfortable with him as a known quantity. Though flawed, his flaws are out there and we're accustomed to them. And then there's that 7th, but it's not one that generally motivates genuinely conservative Republicans. It's held by rhinos and dim crossover voters. And the 7th is, well, he's not Cruz. Okay, I addressed 1 in the last segment. Let's pick it up at 2. Second, he is his own man. No one owns him. Well, this is mostly because he is financing his own campaign. And the idea is that, therefore, he will not be beholden to anyone funding his campaign. Wow. First of all, my friends, he is loaning his own money to his campaign. He's not just giving it away. He intends to get that money back. If he wins, and I think, actually, this will come out if he wins the nomination. I think he's going to say he needs some help to go up against the big war chest of Hillary. I believe that's what you can expect to come out. And then he'll start taking donations, and he'll recover all his investment, and you'll be right back where you started, a politician who's beholden to big donors. Watch. Look, if he's loaning the money to his campaign, who's going to pay it back? If Donnie is anything, he is a savvy businessman, right? We all agree with that. It's what you like about him. Never been known to compromise personal interests, by the way, for business advantage before, and never particularly unwilling to compromise character and ethics for business advantage. You see, that's not his persona. That's not his modus operandi. He has a plan to recapture his investment, make no mistake about it, and it will come from donors. Besides, have you ever really thought about this? He has business deals going down in other countries right now that he intends to turn over to his children to run for him while he's president. It's so weird to me. If Cruz had that in the background of his run for the office, you would never hear the end of it. Aren't you the least bit suspicious about this? A president whose children are running his business with international interests and concerns? How can you be so suspicious that Cruz is beholden to big business and international trade because his wife worked for Goldman Sachs? When, however, Cruz has always been consistent in his opposition to any deal, including TPA, TPP, etc., where it compromises our national sovereignty or the legitimate interests of American economy. And yet, you can turn a blind eye to a noted dealmaker who's a billionaire. I mean, how is it possible that no one has even one shred of suspicion that this man is buying the White House? You can bet that'll come up when Hillary gets at him. Isn't it strange to you that you are against big business buying influence in the White House, but you're for a big businessman buying the White House? And he is a businessman who is known to be ruthless in his dealings, who, with that characteristic frankness you like so well, has admitted that he's used bankruptcy laws, not because he couldn't cover that with his own assets, but to protect his assets, to protect his interests and that of his family. In other words, compromising the interests of all those families hurt through, I don't know. This is just the weirdest thing. Let's look at 3, his celebrity status as a successful businessman, as opposed to, say, just another politician like Cruz. My point here is to appeal to reason, all right? Our reasons 1, 2, and 3. You know, he's anti-politically correct, and he's frank about it. He is financing his own campaign, and he's a successful businessman. Without even looking deeper, taking into consideration any further insight with regard to any of that, just those 3 things all by themselves, given, are they really so important? They cancel concern about single-payer national health care, about abuse of the 5th Amendment protection against government confiscation of personal, that is, private property, an obvious intention to use taxpayer money to bail out banks if they need it and to take over private businesses if that's what he deems necessary. What are you giving up in this trade-off? All right, he is a celebrity. He understands how to manipulate the media. Have you never thought that just maybe he is smart enough to know that a significant part of the conservatives today can be are ripe for being manipulated into trading away several significant conservative concerns in order to champion someone who will champion their anger against the establishment. Be reasonable. He is a businessman and not a politician, right? And that's all you need? Really? A businessman can't be corrupt? When did that think ever enter into somebody's mind? Okay. He'll be a politician soon enough, okay? And he'll do what he said he intends to do. He'll go to Washington to make deals. I thought you wanted a dedicated constitutional conservative who would not negotiate away our constitutional rights and our conservative values. Fourth, his views on the immigration issue. Now, I mentioned earlier that this really is not the primary reason for preferring Trump to Cruz, because their views are virtually the same, except actually Trump wants to put a revolving door in the wall and Cruz does not. Now, I know there's this allegation out there that Cruz lied and all this junk, and I've been through this so many times, but let me summarize. Perhaps you've not studied the allegation that Cruz was for the Gang of Eight bill before he was against it. You know, I've dealt directly with it several times. I'm assuming my listeners, or most of you, have heard me do that. Nevertheless, the fact is, Cruz was never in favor of legalization. Even though, just as Donnie knows, when you're involved in negotiations, sometimes you do willingly yield on one point or another in order to achieve agreement on something far more critical to your concerns. Cruz did say that he was willing to support a bill that offered legalization so long as it also included forfeiture of any path to citizenship for these people. Forever. Now, that's pretty tough. And guess what? Trump wants to give the illegals a path to citizenship. Again, both Cruz and Trump want to build a wall. Only Trump wants to put a revolving door in the wall so they can go out, then turn around and come back in. Anyway, you can call it a lie if you want to, but be reasonable. If you call that a lie, then just wait, because your deal maker is going to make some deals, and he is going to give up on this or that point in order to do it. And then, are you going to go and say, liar Trump, for 4 or 8 years? Please, be reasonable. My point is, this is not reasonable. Trump is going to have to compromise on something to get anything done. If that makes you a liar, I don't know what to say. Please, unless you compromise on core values, I understand that, but that's not what, anyway, please be reasonable. Cruz has been consistent in his ideology, and while I guess it is a matter of interpretation, when I look at the history, I see Cruz filibustering to stop this. I see him declaring over and over his dis-ease over the Gang of Eight bill. And okay, you can call it politicking. Man, you guys, with x-ray vision, can know the hearts and motivations of men, but you can't see anything wrong with Trump. This is just so bizarre. But here's the bottom line today. Be reasonable. Cruz did not technically lie. Those of you convinced he practiced deceit, well, that's your opinion, and you have a right to it. But you don't have any proof of that, but only a bunch of circumstantial things that you assimilate, put together. And my objections to Trump are premised entirely upon the objective facts directly supporting my suspicions. Your objections to Cruz are based on some sort of magical ability to know his heart and motivations. You're simply suspicious of him, and your suspicions are founded upon unproved allegations supporting unfounded beliefs about his character and motivations. Now, for me, my Christian beliefs and values do not allow me to judge someone merely by my suspicions based on circumstantial evidence at best. Now, you don't know his heart. I don't know Trump's heart. But I do know what Trump has said, and I know what he has done. Now, fifth, the fact that all the right people hate him. Is this really a reasonable foundation for your decision? This is a fallacious argument. Look, first, I really have suspicions about the MSM. I share those suspicions with you. And we get complicated over assessing motivations, but we've seen them act in a certain way for so long. But here's what I know for sure. I know the MSM are clever and smart, and I know they know that all the media attention they are giving to Trump aids and abets his bid for the nomination. It doesn't hurt him. I admit that might not be the intended result. It is possible they're only about ratings, and I don't know this for sure, but aren't you the least bit suspicious? I mean, there is so much suspicion about Cruz, it's weird to me. Aren't you the least bit suspicious that the MSM know full well that the attention Trump is getting is worth billions in free advertising that it is impossible for Cruz to get anywhere near that much exposure for his ideas and beliefs, so they throw him an appreciated token here and there. But really, in the balance of it all, do you actually think the MSM is not aware they are feeding the Trump frenzy? You know, when I look at this, every poll and every well-informed gut instinct tells me Hillary wins against Trump. Or at least that Hillary wants Trump on the GOP ticket because she's scared to death of Cruz. We know she has laid out a thorough strategy for defeating Trump. And you don't see that the Dems are in a backhanded way giving the nomination to Trump or driving it to Trump? You don't see that Trump, with his national health care, his penchant for using government to confiscate personal property, you know, he has said he intends to raise taxes. I mean, this would be laughable. If it was written in a novel, it'd be so unbelievable, the novel would tank. It wouldn't go. Nobody'd want to buy it because it'd be ridiculous. But this is actually happening. We are heading toward a scenario where we have a Democrat on both tickets. Some would say that's been going on for a long, long time. And there's a measure of agreement that I have with you in that. But I will say that today, you have a chance to change that, if you'll take it. And then the sixth thing, you can trust Trump to be Trump. He has flaws, but they are out there, and we are accustomed to them. Okay, but what flaws are we talking about here? I mean, if you're talking about his character issues and so on, that's one thing. I mean, what is it, four wives now? And they keep getting younger? What's that about? That does not suggest a level of superficiality to you that bothers you. It bothers me. But we won't even go there. Sometimes I think, some of you secretly admire him because he gets to trade off his old model for a new one? Is that part of this? Is that what this is about? God help us. You see the pretty little chicks he positions right behind him in almost every clip of him lately? You think that's by accident? You don't see this as just a blanket manipulation of his image to put out a kind of playboy billionaire thing. It disturbs me, my friend. Aren't Cruz's character issues less obnoxious than are Trump's? I'm trying to appeal to your reason, your common sense. You think Trump is going to take out Monsanto? Give me a break. And the issue of labeling, while I agree we should be informed if they have monkey with our food, but you don't know about it already, and you don't think word doesn't get out, and you think that that's more important than universal single-payer health care and government. You think you're going to convince Trump away from that, but you're not going to convince Cruz to go with labeling. I don't get it. Government confiscation of personal private property, a revolving door in the wall. You think Trump is going to turn the oil industry on its head? He might nationalize it. Is that what you really want? But on this point, I agree with you, in at least this much, that you can trust Trump to be Trump. You can trust Trump to be who Trump has always been, about three-quarters liberal. And many of you are willing to forego an opportunity that you have in front of you to have a genuine constitutional conservative in the White House in trade for a guy who makes you feel good, who's flashy, and who is willing to tweak the politically correct. But do you want to know who the politically correct really fear? You want to know who the gay agenda crowd really fears? Do you want to know who the establishment really fears? It's Cruz, my friend. And those of you who are supporting Trump are missing the greatest opportunity you have had in decades to get a genuine constitutional conservative into the White House. Please take a reasoned look at all of this. I have lit the lamps in the Church Belfry Arch, and now you call and let me know you see that they are on. The number to call is 1-888-770-8000. Again, that's 1-888-770-8000. And leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. If you prefer to write to me, please go to our website, thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. You find a place there to write me an email. God bless you. God save America. And by the way, Sunday night, I'll be continuing a series of messages on the Bible and conspiracy theories. You'll find the next installment fascinating. Hope to see you there. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturday at 12 noon